This year's been a roller coaster, and not the fun kind. Business, no. It's a dangerous time not to know your numbers. That's why you need NetSuite by Oracle. Over 31,000 businesses have the confidence they need. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing offer. Head to netsuite.com/minute.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, October 27th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. If you talk about Apple these days, the two biggest topics you've got to get to both start with the letter P, privacy and plugs. Apple's privacy rules have upended the digital ad market, and new regulations out of Europe are set to change how iPhones get charged up, and by extension, how they're built. At the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference this week, our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern asked two of Apple's top execs about those issues. We'll have highlights from their discussion after these headlines. A big week for tech earnings continues. Facebook parent Meta reported its results after markets closed yesterday. The social media giant has been facing a range of hurdles: impacts on its digital ad business, growing competition in the social sphere, and a big bet on the metaverse that's falling short of expectations. Our reporter Salvador Rodriguez gives us a look into the numbers.
Investors did not like what they saw, with the company's stock price trading down more than 13% in after-hours trading. The company's quarterly revenue came in at $27.7 billion, which was down more than 4% compared to a year ago, and it was their second quarter in a row where they posted a revenue decline. The company's net profit came in at $4.4 billion, but that is now the fourth quarter in a row that the company's bottom line has fallen. That is something that Meta has not experienced in an entire decade.
Apple and Amazon will be rounding out the week of big tech earnings. They'll both report later today. Google has agreed to improve its compliance program and be monitored by an outside compliance professional in a deal with the Justice Department. The DOJ said the search giant lost data that was stored overseas, which federal investigators had wanted in connection with a probe into a cryptocurrency exchange. The settlement has roots in a larger debate between big tech companies and the government over whether the U.S. can compel businesses to turn over data stored outside the country. South Korean chipmaker SK Hynix says it's cutting its planned investments for next year in half due to deteriorating market conditions. The company, one of the world's biggest chipmakers by revenue, is predicting a prolonged oversupply of memory chips. It also says it'll consider exiting China, where it has several factories, if new U.S. restrictions on chip sales to that country make operating there too difficult. And social media has been in regulators' spotlight in recent years for its potentially harmful effects on young users. Larissa May, founder of Half the Story, a nonprofit dedicated to improving future generations' relationship with social media, was at this year's Tech Live event. TNB's producer Julie Chang ran into her and asked her about how companies can tackle some of these issues.
What are some things that social media today gets right, and what are some things that they get wrong?
So I think a couple of things that technology have done really well over the past couple of years have, one, you know, completely changed the model and even the playing field for creators who don't come from backgrounds with a lot of resources to get the exposure and reach and communities that they need to thrive. On top of that, I think that social media has become really a cultural destination in place for individuals when they choose to get outside of their echo chambers and learn from different cultures and experiences from all over the world when you choose to engage with those individuals. And I think the third thing that social media has done right has, you know, really created a platform for young people to express their emotions and their thoughts and to actually take charge and make moves from a political, social, and environmental perspective that other generations haven't.
Then what does it get wrong?
Well, there's so many places that it's getting wrong. I think one, just thinking about unrestricted algorithms and minors. So when you're a young person, you're relying on the limbic system and the part of your brain that is activated by rewards. And social media companies are preying on that part of their brain through the incentive system or reward system that getting a like or a comment and those false dopamine hits create for youth. And over time, we're seeing the severe mental health implications of that. Two, just having better customer service platforms. You can't reach out to Facebook or Instagram with any issues. They never get back to you. So I think there's just a lot of improvement from a user experience perspective. And then I think the third thing is, you know, really needing to close the gap between equity and inclusion, not only from a diversity lens and in the way that I think culture typically looks at it, but also thinking about accessibility for people that are neurodivergent or have different issues and aren't able to engage in platforms visually in the way that others have.
But for social media companies, you know, bottom line, they have to make money.
Yeah.
And the way that they make money is by making their platforms, their products really sticky.
Yeah.
So how do you help them negotiate that?
Right. And it's a balancing act, the purpose and the profit. So there's a couple of ways to look at this. I think the biggest challenge is that there's no financial incentive for companies to make those decisions from a government level. Right now, the companies are really in full control. And the way that we need to look at the mental health crisis is very similar to the environmental crisis, in that as companies, we might have to take financial cuts or make investments in things that in the long run have an exponential positive impact on humanity. So in environmental, some companies switch to more sustainable packaging that costs more. Why? To protect the environment. And when it comes to social media, we need to make more sustainable design choices to protect the future of humanity and young minds.
Larissa May, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, a decision by Apple on privacy ushered in massive changes to the digital ad market. Was that the company's plan? We'll hear what Apple execs have to say after the break.
Think for a moment about your purpose, your why. It could be the thing that drives you or the people who inspire you, the mark you wish to leave or the legacy you've already built. At PNC Private Bank, we can help you work towards achieving that purpose for yourself and your loved ones every step of the way. We'll take care of the how. So just tell us, what's your why? To learn more, please visit pnc.com/private bank. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. All rights reserved. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Apple has a problem. Legislators in the European Union approved new rules this month that will force the makers of portable electronic devices like smartphones and laptops to equip them with a USB-C charging port. The aim is to have a common charging standard, but Apple's iPhones use its own Lightning charging port. So, what do the new rules mean for the future of iPhones around the globe? At the Wall Street Journal's Tech Live conference this week, WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern put that question and more to Apple's senior vice president of software engineering, Craig Federighi, and Apple's senior vice president of worldwide marketing, Greg Joswiak. Here are highlights from their conversation.
I've called you both here to talk about really a big problem. It's a global crisis at this point, and I'm gonna bring it up here. We're going to start with you, Joz. What do you see when you look at this?
I see two really cool connectors. Yeah, kind of the two most popular connectors in the world, I think, right now.
Okay.
Yep. Mm.
Craig, I know you're a software guy, but what do you see?
I got to really agree with Joz on this one. These are two great connectors.
Two great connectors.
Yeah.
Okay. I see a little bit of a mess, and so I'll tell you.
Really?
So this charges the iPhone. Mm-hmm. Now this charges the Mac and iPad and various other products around the world. And so that's creating a little bit of friction. In fact, the EU has approved legislation to create a common charger. In fact, they said in a press release, in 2024, a USB-C port will become mandatory for a whole range of electronic devices such as mobile phones, tablets, and headphones. Is Apple moving to USB-C?
You probably heard me say for years that I don't mind governments telling us what they want to accomplish, but usually we've got some pretty smart engineers to figure out the best ways to accomplish them technically. And an example of that I love to give is for years and years, mobile phones had to satisfy a hearing aid compatibility spec, very prescriptively described by regulation that said, here's what you have to do to be compatible with hearing aids. The problem is it didn't work, but all of us had to do it. And so we came up with a new way of doing hearing aids made for iPhone. So what we were accomplishing is what the government wanted, but we did it in a way that worked better. And, we've been in an argument over this one for well over 10 years. And over 10 years ago, the push from the EU, look, they're well-meaning. I get the fact that they want to accomplish some good things, was to do micro USB and standardize as a micro USB. And so we have been in this little bit of a disagreement. But part of what, of course, they wanted to accomplish is why should people have all these different power adapters? So we got to what we think was a better place, right, which is power adapters that had detachable cables, all of them USB-A or USB-C, and largely moving to USB-C. But you choose the cable, that was appropriate for your device, whether that's one of ours or somebody else's. And so we preferred that path. Governments, get to do what they're going to do. And obviously we'll have to comply, but, we think the approach would have been better environmentally and better for our customers to not have a government be that prescriptive.
We're going to move to privacy. So back in 2021, you released App Tracking Transparency, or ATT, and it gave users more choice over sharing their data with other companies. We have these tiny pop-ups all coming up on our phones, right?
Yeah.
A big, big business impact, right? Knocks billions in revenue off of companies like Meta, Google, others. Did you anticipate this domino effect?
I'd say we couldn't be sure. I think we were truly just focused on doing the right thing. We'd been working for so many years to try to bring more transparency and control to so many areas of the experience. And years before, we'd brought intelligent tracking prevention to Safari. And so we'd seen the problem of tracking on the web, and we'd been able to counter it in large part. And we felt the world of apps should be no different. And, I think there was uncertainty about what the short-term impact would be. I think we felt in the long term that quality advertising and privacy could coexist. There would be innovation, some of it from us, some of it from others. But that journey had to start.
Yeah, it's a simple question, Joanna. And it's just getting the user to say, yeah, that's okay. I mean, how many times have you shopped for something and all of a sudden you are now getting emails from other, shoe companies when you buy shoes, or you're seeing, web ads everywhere? Sometimes that creeps people out, and sometimes it's not as simple as shoes, right? And as you know, data brokers are building profiles on you, based on what can be sent to them that you have no idea. So all we're saying is, look, advertising's cool. Just get the user's permission if you're going to send it to other companies.
There's been this feeling, though, that a little bit of the move has been hypocritical, as there are reports that Apple wants to move more into advertising. Is that any part of the motivation? Does Apple have...
Well, I should say first, zero part of the motivation. This was driven by our privacy team as part of a long agenda that you could watch in Apple's business year after year after year, how we were stepping up privacy protections in area after area. This was our team going, we feel protecting apps consistent with what we've done in Safari makes sense. We brought this to business and just said, heads up, everyone. We are doing this year after year privacy agenda. Here's what's coming. That is where this feature came from, full stop.
And by the way, again, just to clarify, we're not against advertising. And by the way, we're hearing by all the same rules, right? We're not sending any of your information, to anybody without your permission. As a matter of fact, we don't send it, period. And we give you options to even opt out of what we're keeping within
the company. In your own apps?
In our own apps,
yeah. Okay, well, we're going to end there, but I wanted to thank you guys so much for coming. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. To find more coverage of this year's Tech Live conference, visit our website, wsj.com. And if you enjoy our show, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Free Expression. a new podcast from The Wall Street Journal with me, Jerry Baker, editor-at-large of The Wall Street Journal. It's a podcast in which we're going to be trying to do something a little different, dig a little deeper into the issues behind the headlines that are in the news all the time. So please join me for my new podcast, Free Expression, with Jerry Baker at The Wall Street Journal. We're very much looking forward to really having some fascinating conversations, and I very much hope you'll join us.